Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Sorry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Have a seat. If that's the only mistake I made from being sleepy today, I'll be doing good. I just want to say it's really nice to have a baby picture. Wonderful. Welcome, lots of When my kids were probably about middle school age, they discovered a series of books that were called Choose Your Own Adventure books. They were written on a super low literary level, and every story was pretty much the same as every other story, as far as I could tell. But they were all the rage at our house for a while. And the way it worked was that at various points in this exciting adventure, the reader was given a choice of two options. For example, the hero, you, are passing by a creepy abandoned house, and you hear a scream from inside. Do you, one, run like crazy and get as far away from the house as possible, or two, run into the house and find out what's happening? And then depending on your choice, you turn to page whatever, and you find that you have been eaten by a monster, or you have found a secret passage, or you've been a hero, or something, and the story continues with more choices and more exciting adventures. Every Easter, we read the story of the resurrection of Jesus, which is the greatest adventure story in the history of the human race, bar none. And because we have four gospel accounts, we're blessed to hear the story of Easter morning from four different perspectives. If we read about the resurrection in Matthew, he tells us how the faithful women who had stayed with Jesus to the end came at the crack of dawn to the tomb where Jesus had been laid. He tells that there was an earthquake that had shaken the huge stone away from the entrance of the tomb at the descent of God's angel. He tells how the angel met the women and calmed their fears and gave them a little tour of the tomb. And then Matthew tells us how when the women ran off to tell everybody what they could hardly believe themselves, they ran right into Jesus himself, and they fell at his feet in sheer joy and wonder. Luke, who's a doctor and a historian, he gives us lots of names and details in his story. He tells us that the women had come carrying the spices they had prepared for anointing Jesus' body properly, because it had been done in haste on the eve of the Sabbath and by men who might not have done quite the best job of it. Luke tells us there were not one but two angels when the women arrived, and he tells us that when the women ran to tell the rest of the disciples what they knew, the men refused to believe them, and Peter ran off to see for himself. John tells us that he went with Peter to check out the women's story, and that incidentally, he, John, got there first. And he tells us that when he and Peter found everything exactly as the women had described it, they still didn't know what to make of it. And then, I'm sorry, Lawson. And then John gives us the tender account of Mary Magdalene, who was the very first person to hear the voice of the risen Christ when he spoke her name. Can you even imagine the honor of being her as she was weeping in the garden? And then John tells us that Mary was the first evangelist, the first person to proclaim the good news of Jesus' resurrection. There are three accounts of the exact same thing, but from different perspectives. And then today we read the account that Mark gave for us, the gospel that we read this morning. And I think one of the fascinating things about Mark's account is that as the gospel of Mark was copied and recopied in the centuries after Jesus' death and resurrection, scribes tacked on various endings, filling in the blanks from the other gospel accounts. They seem to have felt that Mark gave his story too much of a cliffhanger ending. Surely it would be better for it to have some resolution. Some later manuscripts of Mark's gospel add the story of Mary Magdalene and the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Some of the later manuscripts of Mark tell about the women who brought word back to Peter and the rest of the disciples. But the earliest manuscripts that we have available of Mark, the ones that are most likely to be Mark's own version, just end like this. And they, the women, they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. End of story. Mark brings us to that very moment when the women had seen for themselves that the huge stone was rolled away from the mouth of the tomb, that the tomb was empty, and that the dead body of Jesus was certainly not there. And as if that were not confusing enough, they came face to face with an angelic messenger from God who spoke to them and told them that Jesus, the Jesus whose agonizing death they'd seen with their own eyes, that he had gone ahead of them and would meet them in Galilee. And then Mark ends his story, leaving the women there running away from the tomb in silent, trembling, terrified amazement. And it seems to me, though I can't be sure, I'm reading into it, but it seems to me that Mark leaves the women at that very moment because he wants to bring us to that moment as well. What do we make of the body of Jesus that was certainly dead? We remembered that in solemn sadness on Friday night, but then was simply not there anymore. What do we make of an angel or two angels whose clothes are so bright you can hardly bear to look at them, and who were seemingly just sitting around waiting for the women to arrive so they could give them the good news? What do we make of a living Jesus who speaks and who eats fish and whose feet can be grasped when the women fall at them to worship him, but who can enter a locked room without bothering to open the door? What do we make of a living Jesus who bears the fatal scars of his own death, but lives and breathes? Mark leaves us to meditate on the resurrection in our own silent, trembling, terrified amazement. Just for a moment, and to believe or not. On this Easter morning, Mark leads us to choose our own adventure. And that's what we're here to do today, to choose and to celebrate the true, risen, living Jesus. Alleluia, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.